Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Go. So hello and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast and a very special episode today, so much so that I've actually written an introduction. I've never done one before for an episode of this podcast, but this man is absolutely deserving of one. A bona fide Leicester legend, a name and face that City fans of pretty much any age will know. In my adult life, I've read just two books, genuinely. One was Jamie Vardy's autobiography, the other was this man's 450 City appearances, ranking him sixth all time. Two League Cup winners' medals, two playoff winners' medals, the game in 1994 securing his name in Fox's folklore. And let's not forget the proud owner of the joint highest number of red cards in Football League history.
Love that.
I'm, of course, talking about the one and only Steve Walsh.
He's here. He's there.
There we
He's
go.
Still got love. Stevie Walsh.
We like that.
So there we are. Steve Walsh, welcome to the podcast.
Fantastic, lads. Love it. Yeah.
So, this is a special one. This is a special one. We haven't done many lives all together, and we've certainly not had anyone like
this. Very unique, this, tonight. Feels good.
Yes, we need to mention we're here at the Ivy Chutney here in Leicester City Centre. Thank you very much for looking after us this evening. Award-winning curry. Jack holding up the award there. So look, we've got Steve for about 45 minutes before he grabs himself a curry and heads home.
I've only come for the curry, lads.
That's fair enough.
Like, it's always about that.
We were just here when we saw you and grabbed and brought you along. But look, genuinely, thank you for your time.
Yeah, absolutely, no problem. Yeah.
We just want to talk about your Leicester career and everything else, maybe in a slightly different way in our unique Big Strong Leicester Boys way. But I mean, things right now, just quickly, it's pretty good at the moment. It must be fun working at the club again.
It is, I mean, can't get complacent, you know, with the way things are going. I'm a little bit cautious at the minute, but it's, what can you say? We just look too good for everybody. I think technically, every player, you know, teams are coming to sit back now and they just get opened up. You know, it's just when that happens, you know, that's when we start to score a few goals, and it could have been 5 or 6 again today quite easily. And it's very positive at the club at the moment, which is great. And we all know how important it is to bounce straight back. And but I will remain cautious until we get into a position that then we can celebrate, because there's a lot of celebrating already. And I can tell you, Enzo, he'll have the lads with their heads screwed on, that's for sure.
I know we want to move on to your career, but just right now, because it is so good and so positive, you know, the Championship is a league people always say not to take lightly. But yeah. I'll be honest, Steve, I think that we can take this pretty lightly, and I think we're going to win this at a canter. But I can say that, and you can't.
Yeah, I will, because I'm an ex-footballer, and I know that things can change in football. Although, I just can't see that happening in this case. But it is, it's just great for the football club to be in this position. You know, to see the fans again excited, and the atmosphere was terrific. You know, when we got that second goal, it was sublime. But, you know, as a manager, you're just looking at the next game. And I guess I look like that, you know. I remember as I played, you know, if you start looking ahead, then things will fall down. But, so I kind of was still very cautious, confident, very confident, and that's a good thing.
Right, let's talk about you. Let's talk about Leicester. Rick?
Yes. I think on that, I think first question, Mark McGee. What I mean by that is we obviously came down, didn't we? And that year, I think we started really well.
Yeah.
And I think then he left. Obviously, we were doing well. 96.
96.
So I can see a bit of caution in you that, you know, we've started but you can never...
No, you can never do that. And we're silly to get carried away at this moment. I know, you know, everyone's saying that, well, we're going to scroll this, but it just doesn't work like that. But you look at the squad we've got in depth. You looked at the bench today. Oh, when I saw the bench, I thought, God, you know, you look at that for the last 20 minutes to come on. Incredible, you know, Ndidi, Fordy, Mavididi, you know, look at these players, technically brilliant, and especially when a team's a little bit tired. And it's looking very positive, very good. And, I'm expecting, like everyone else is, for Leicester to go up. But I'll always remain on the reserve side. Because of my, you know, it's things can go wrong.
It's like betting,
and losing it right at the last minute. You know, you can easily do that. So, like Man United today, I thought they'd drawn 1-1 and they won 2-1.
Apparently,
and
so.
In
yeah,
the 97th minute. So these things can happen in football, and So
one more from me. In this system, Callum Doyle's obviously got injured, but I'm thinking big left-footed centre-back playing that hybrid role. I'm picturing a young Steve Walsh, hard-back, goal scorer.
I don't think that'd last too long in this modern-day era.
Would you? What do you reckon? Because
I don't think so. I don't think I was built for this as well, the speed now. But saying that, you know, there's some fast players in my days. Don't forget Henry and McAloin, people like them, you know, we seem to read it quite well. Myself, Matelli, clever brain, so speed didn't bother us really. But we were good together and forged that relationship. But yeah, I understand where you're going.
I'm thinking that. And so you mentioned Henri. Was that the best play you've ever faced?
No, Bergkamp. I do a lot of Q&As, and Bergkamp was clever, but he was strong, he could finish, he had touch, he had everything, the whole, you know, very difficult player to play against. And, you know, there's a story of what happened in that 3-3 draw, which Bergkamp started on my side up front. And after 2 minutes, I thought, the flipping heck, he's on fire. So I just give him a nut on the back of the head, you know, a little nut, as you do, bang. And we turned around and said, you're fucking crazy. And he walked across to Matt Elliott's side. It's the best thing I've ever done in football, I can tell. And then he ripped him apart. So, and I scored the equaliser in the 96th minute.
I'm not sure if you've seen it lately, but there was actually a video on social media of Thierry Henry.
He was a...
And he I can't remember what exactly he was talking about, the physicality of the Premier League. And he name-checked, didn't he? You know, you, Matty Elliott, Jerry Taggart. I mean, and he was talking like 20 years on, and Thierry Henry was still talking about you.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, yeah. Well, it's our era, wasn't it? And, you know, you look at them teams then, I think they were, you know, most teams were better than they are now, I think, in certain ways. You know, especially the Man Uniteds and the Chelseas, the Arsenals, you know, all them teams then. God. But it was, you know, we earned the right to play against them, and we certainly, you know, we go to places in the end where I'd never had results and got results, you know, Man United away, and, you know, I can remember a few times going there, Tony Cottis going an early goal with him 1-0 and going and drawing 2-2 when we're 2-0 up, and we should have won that game, you know, two injuries right at the end, and you think that's Leicester now, you know, we're on the map, and And obviously then we got into Europe, which had an added kind of what O'Neill wanted. So that set us out on another challenge. But no, there were great days, great memories. And you know, from when I made my debut in 1986 for Leicester, I saw Frank Stapleton the other day playing against Man United after about three or four games, I think it was. We drew 1-1, I think, at home. We beat Liverpool 2-1. Dalglish played. You know, going back in time now. It's unbelievable, really. So way before your time, well, you lads.
You remember
it. Yeah.
I'm a bit older than these boys, but I started following Leicester 89-90. I've pulled over the results.
Yeah, just before the playoffs started, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was an amazing kind of, because I signed for Leicester to be in the top division. It wasn't about money. You know, Gordon Milne was the assistant manager, really, co-manager at that time. But Milne wanted me, I know that, because he saw me playing in the Manx Cup for Wigan Athletic against Leicester, I think it was,
right,
in the Isle of Man. It was bizarre. And I broke my leg a week after that. We'd been there and I was out for a year. So he waited until... But Brian Hamilton obviously then became the manager of Leicester. He took me down and signed me alongside Milne. So that was eventful, I can tell you. But Milne, I remember sitting in his room, and I didn't have an advisor really then, you know, and he was sat there on the table, and he'd have a pad of paper, and he'd write down 200 quid, you know, a week, and then he'd rip it out. I'd say, no chance, Gordon, and he'd throw it, and he'd fucking go in the bin every time, and the whole fucking pad nearly gone, you know. And then I got 300 quid, 350, 400 and 450, a four-year contract, and every year I got £3,000 signing on fee. So £12,000 in total in signing on fees. And I got, which everyone still gets, I think, is a relocation bonus of £10,000.
Okay.
So I lived in I stayed in the Holiday Inn, and that paid, obviously, for my stay in there. But I realised when I'd done £5,000 in about 4 weeks that I needed to get out of there.
Somewhere.
yeah. And I stayed on London Road in the Duval Hotel. Paul Cooper was staying there. And the guy was a big racing guy, but big drinkers. And we'd have 8 or 9 pints, and you know, and it was unreal in them days. You
Back
know,
in the good Thursday old days.
Night. Yeah, 48 hours before a game. You'd never do that now, would you? Yeah, but we still play well on a Saturday. Yeah, but that's where my career started at Leicester, and obviously I was disappointed that I got relegated the very first year, because I played 16 games, 17 games, and I tore my groin muscle, and I was out. I had an operation, out for the season. I can remember a picture of me and Alan Smith at away at Oxford, fatal day when we got relegated, sat on the bench thinking, me and Alan Smith on the bench, you know, it wasn't right. And when we got relegated, devastated, you know, and then I had to wait until 92 to get to the final, you know, for the very first time we were that close to getting into the Premier League for the first time. And then 93, to two penalty consecutive years cost us. Unbelievable. So disappointment, and then obviously the famous Derby game, which Derby County kind of never liked me anyway through all the years, and from the baseball ground, and horrible. They, you know, the ball go out of play in the baseball ground. You know, you go and get it and throw it in your face, and oh, just fucking horrible. We had some great. I loved the Forest Derby, all them games, West Brom, Coventry, Wolves, absolutely, you know, they were the games, they were the memories for me.
I was going to ask about Wolves, actually, because you against Bully.
I thought you'd say that.
Was box office, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah, it was box office just before Christmas. I did a Q&A in Wolverhampton, there's only fucking me there. There was one Leicester fan, honestly, with Bully, but they were brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And there were the stories that we were telling, you know, and it's all right now. Bully's always shook me hand after a game, and it was always on the pitch, the antics, but there was a lot went on. You know, I've still got teeth marks in my head from headbutting him and fucking getting sent off. And felt like we'd had about 5 red cards each, but we only got one each. And it's cost him a lot, because it was in England. You know, the England manager was watching. And I've never dived down, but I did, ever. I thought, what am I doing? Yeah, and he didn't even hurt me, you know. But, it, you know, it was just getting him back for something else. So, but it was always controversy. there was so much went on, and, but he was such a terrific player that I had to stop him somehow. And there's only me could stop him, really, in a way of picking him off the ball. That was simple as that. I'd just try and destroy him. And he bounced back up. He'd chase everything. One of the best players, you know, a real handful. So that's the Wolves days. But they were great when I went over. Great with me. Had a good night. Bully, you know, we'll do one over here, I'm sure. Yeah. We should do one here with Bully. Should come down here and do a Q&A. That's what we should do. Yeah. And the chutney ivy, that's what we should do. Yes. Gabby, is she there? Oh, she's brilliant, Gabby. Oh, right, on the better side. Yeah, all right, Gabby, just for you. Yes, just for you, Gabby. Cool as Leicester. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, no problem. I'll sort it out. Yeah, yeah.
And you alluded to it just there, but when we got you on this, the first game that sprung to mind for me was 3-3 Arsenal.
Oh,
your header.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't head the ball like that anymore, do they?
No, they don't. And even kids nowadays, you can't see, you know. I think they're worried, the kids now,
because
of what's happening. I really do. But you don't get naturally now, because it was long ball dump to get a lot of aerial battles then. It's not anymore. Totally different football now. And we were long ball specialists, really. You know, how many times I must have played a long ball in a game. The stats on that would have been a lot. I could never play against Fulham, 2-2.
Was that Chris Coleman? Was playing centre-half.
Coleman played, I think, and who was up front? I forget his name now. Pesky Social Leader.
Horsfield.
Was
it what, in the quarterfinals?
Yeah. Horsfield played up front. He was ample, and he scored. But I tore on the groin through kicking long balls. I had that many balls, you know, that I played. And I made an error, which you'll probably remember, which everyone does. But I tore on the groin.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've just got to play it inside this ball to Jerry Taggart. And I just went down on one knee and I watched him rip through and they scored.
Yeah, I remember.
And
yeah.
We were 2-0 down with not long left. And but I still, you know, I scored that goal. I don't know, I must have ripped it again, but I didn't do a thing then. And but me and Marshy smash and grab up front, you see.
Yeah.
We used to use us in training, we used to call ourselves smash and grab. Because I'd nod it down or he'd nod it down and he'd put it in, we both could finish. And that's what happened that day, because I nodded it down for Marshy, he scored and he nodded it down for me. And we got us back in the game, so luckily. And that's the final I missed through suspension with the red card against Chelsea in the end that year. So that was a sad ending for my season, really. Stupid, but cost me a lot of money. Yeah, when I look at it, must have been 50 grand.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
At least.
That brings us on nicely, because me and Joe were just talking about this earlier of going through the Wembley. You can probably take it forward, but I mean, you and Wembley and Leicester were just synonymous with
ripping out. You know, when you look at it, we played 7 times in that decade at Wembley.
It's mad.
So you know, there's not many people done that. I know I've scored 3 goals at Wembley as well, which I think is the most any Leicester players scored. I think it is. I think that's one of the stats that the historian told me, but I wouldn't have thought that. But I hit the post as well, and a couple of assists, so I've done it right.
I remember the Middlesbrough game.
Middlesbrough,
You hit the bar.
That was... I hit the post against Swindon. Swindon it was. I hit the post, it came back, Joachim put it in. I nodded it down for Heskey. Heskey scrambled the equaliser.
Yeah. I was in the Middlesbrough end, and I was only about 10. I thought you'd
score. I headed it down again. Yeah.
Jimmer.
Yeah.
I remember going up, I thought he'd scored, and it came back out.
Well, I nodded it into an area where Heskey scrambled it in, and luckily we got away with it, because we'd been away to Tenerife, I think it was, for 10 days. We were just pissed every day. There was no training, anything. Preparation for that game. Just wanted us probably one day, and it was on the beach with a ball or something.
But it is
unbelievable.
Steve, it is funny, because we've had Edie on a couple of times, so a former teammate of yours.
And so Darren's a good mate, and I remember speaking to him and chewing his ear off about his time at Leicester. And the way that modern footballers now is completely different. I know we know that, but like generally just paint a picture, because he said that basically if you couldn't handle your booze and you'd go down after training, you'd be in the pub and often there all afternoon having a bit of locking.
Do you know what though?
If you couldn't hack it, you wouldn't make it at Leicester.
Yeah, maybe. but the culture then and before that,
Leicester,
when I was at Wigan Athletic,
Mike
Newell played for Wigan Athletic with me, Paul Jewell, David Lowe, and Larry Lloyd took us to the first time, you know, took us to the Boar's Head pub in Wigan with John Robertson. And John Robertson fell off, just like a bar like that, long bar, and John Robertson after half an hour fell off his stool. And you know, they were on whiskies from the, you know, shots. And Mike Newell had a pint of milk, and Larry Lloyd made him change to a pint, but he wouldn't. And he drank a pint of milk. And then he got with Howard Kendall, did Mike Newell, and that's when he started drinking. I spoke to Mike, because I know him well, and he said, "Hey, Kendall, just one, they lost their way somewhere in London." He came off a bus, and they had an argument, and he made him drink, and that, and he pissed ever since. And
grown men shouldn't be drinking pots of milk.
But saying that, Martin did things in the right way. He knew when to the lads to have a drink. He knew how to put an arm around someone. He knew how to psychologically get in people's heads, and like mine. I never thought he liked me at all, but he did. You know, I don't think he liked me. There were certain things, but I was a handful for him, and I think that's probably why. But certain things happened, and he blamed me, and you know, but I was captain, and a lot, you know, I was always one of the lads, and but I'd look after all the lads first, but Martin always, there was always something, and you know, but I understand why he did it now, you know, and it's only until he wrote something in my book, I thought, do you know what, he flipping likes me, and every time I've been to see him, he's brought the red carpet out. You know, I've been up to Scotland to Celtic game, I can just remember, straight after the game, me and, was it Muzzy and Steve Guppy? I can't remember who it was, but we went in a little square room, and this little guy kept bringing loads of beers, 24 beers, and we'd do about 3 crates of these. He wouldn't let us go till 9 o'clock, and we're out then with Lawson and, you know, and all the team. It was unbelievable, and that's what he was, you know. He remembered, and he remembered what we'd done for him.
Yeah.
And he rewarded people off playing matches, and like, you know, because I couldn't get a massive contract because I wasn't, you know, like Heskey and Lennon, you know, reputedly 30 grand a week, when it's fact really. You know, I'd be on, what, 5 grand a week, and because career operations that are threatening operations, I didn't get the same money as them, never. And that was frustrating, being captain and being at the top level, and they relied on me a lot, and I played through any injury, you know. So I don't know with that, whether that was fair or not, but at the end of the day, you know, when he left O'Neill, he gave me a 1-year contract without, you know, that day that he left, but, you know, that was an appreciation.
Talking of injuries in your career, I may have made this up, so apologies if I have.
Probably not.
I swear there was a period of time when you were being trumped up for England.
Well, no, it was Republic of Ireland, really. I don't think England, because of my disciplinary record. The FA,
Gary Wackett.
But the Republic of Ireland came in.
Yeah.
And it was Mick...
McCarthy.
Yeah, Mick McCarthy. I think it was Mick McCarthy at the time. Or was it? Anyway, because we played Middlesbrough away, and I did my knee, you see. That week he came in and he spoke to Martin, you see. So I was going to be selected. And my mother, because he asked me to look for my family tree, and I did that. It cost my mum 300 quid, bless her. You know, she's passed away now. And I've still got it at home. And so I'd passed all them tests of playing for the Republic of Ireland, and but I did my cruciate knee at Middlesbrough away, and that was terrible. You know, it was I think it was first game of the season or second or whatever, first away game, and I remember, because it was a dry pitch, my studs got caught in the grass. It just felt like sounding my leg come out, my knee came out and then back in. I was all right, like 1 minute, and I thought, flipping heck, brand new again. Physio came on, tested me, not probably didn't know what cruciates were then, but you know, and then I went on and put all my weight on my knee, and it just buckled. So I got stretchered off, and I went in with the doctor, said, you know, he came with massive brandy in his hand like this, swilling it around, think you've done your fucking cartilage, mate. And Imagine that now. Just imagine that. Think you've done your cartilage. So I'm thinking I've done something bad here. I know I have. I'm on the back of the bus and it's swelling up. But the swelling was that bad for 10 days and no one knew what I had scans and they couldn't see it, what was happening. And I went to see this specialist at the time, Angus Strover in Droitwich. And I had many trips down there in the end, but he got like a machine, it was like a car jack, right? And he put it on my leg and he just moved this thing and just the movement and he said, you've ruptured your thing. And then I had another scan, you can see it dangling, it had gone. So I had to have a new one put in and screwed in. And so that was one of the times when it took me, you know, there were 9 months job then, a year really, but I was 6 months really, you know, I was only 6 months and I came back stupidly. Yes.
Yeah, you did that. Yeah. Did you do that once or twice?
No, I did it once, but I've had 28, 27 operations on my body, and the hands and everything. I've had freak injuries that so, like, anyone's you
like
wouldn't
now,
believe.
Do you have problems now?
Yeah, I have now. With my knees terribly. Yeah. Body, yeah. I've got the knees of a 90-year-old already. Yeah. They said that years ago, but I've had that much surgery. I don't want to have them done. I'm just gonna. I can walk around and I can do, you know, exercise that way, play golf. So I get by with the pain, and although it's bad, I can't bend down, I can't do things. Yeah. But I'm in agony.
I remember there was seeing photos of you like head to toe in Fox Leisure on the leg extension.
Yeah, with Joachim, I think. He broke his foot, and I had done my cruise ship. That's right.
Yeah.
That's a famous picture.
It's a great photo.
Together.
Well, it's not a great photo, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. But we both missed that season. That's one of the reasons why we went down, because me and him were a big part.
Did you do that at the start of that season, or was it just?
I did it at the start.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, I did it in the final against Derby.
Really?
I did my cruciate ligament against Middlesbrough in the 6 months before the Derby final.
Oh wow!
And
you
I didn't
on?
Play or anything. I played in the final.
Oh, and you just got through
that. I re-damaged my knee in the final, opened up the joint of my knee, and I'd done my cartilage. I didn't know, and I got through pre-season, but then we played Dalglish's Blackburn away on Tuesday night, and the warm-up, God, it was popping and clicking, and I knew that it was cartilage. And I played on stupidly like I did, you know, because it weren't hurting me, but the noises coming out of my knee. And I lasted till I hit the post, I think. Did I score? And I did all right. And in the end, I went off with this injury. And Dalglish kindly came in to see me after the game. And he said, you're flipping nuts, you playing on with that. I knew you'd done some damage. But he was really nice with me, you know, Dalglish.
Yeah.
Brilliant guy. And I met him a few times and played against him. And, so that was one of the worst things.
With your knee, basically.
I knew that it was bad. And I just stupidly played on. Yeah. You had them magic tablets then, you know, the Voltrol tablets that they give to, like, car crash people, you know.
They
kept me going for a few years, I must admit. If I hadn't had one of those the night before, I used to have one the night before and one 3 hours before the game. And I felt like a 15-year-old kid. Unbelievable. Couldn't feel anything. But then the last 24 hours, but you can imagine. I got a bad stomach through them in the end because I've had that many. And I still have stomach problems now. But I was speaking to a couple of rugby lads, and they have like a torpedo one that is like a suppository that goes up your arse.
Oh, really?
But it's instantly into your bloodstream, you know. And I started that last year, so I played in Dubai with Leicester against Man United in November for the Legends last year.
Yeah.
And I had one then and felt brilliant. Thought I'd make a comeback. But when I looked at myself play, I thought, that's time to retire. Yeah, I'm done now.
Because I remember you, like, my first memory of you is playing as a striker.
Well,
do you consider yourself a centre half or a striker?
Yeah. I was makeshift striker. I was centre back. There's no doubt about that. I was thrown up front because of two red cards in a week, and Brian Little tried to keep me out of trouble by shoving me up front. So that didn't go down too well. I was a bit disappointed because he stripped me of the captaincy as well, you know. So I was disappointed with that. But that's what it was, and stupidity really cost me money again. Yeah, many times my pay packet was 0.00.
But also, like, because so many people, and obviously mention it, like, know of you and about you at a red card record, 13, yeah, joint record.
Yeah.
Do you in any way regret it? Or?
Do you know what? No. I love it now. I should have had 20 more. I'm telling you, unbelievable.
How many do you think you'd have got VAR?
I should. Oh God. Yeah, you'd have been on. You'd have been touched in 50, I reckon. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. Things that happened to me though, as well. You know.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I had to fend for myself when I was a kid, 17, and Billy Whitehurst nutting me off the ball, you know, and Bobby Campbell nearly breaking my leg. You know, I remember these things, and, you know, someone being smashed through a door at Wigan, and, you know, you think, Jesus Christ. You know, when I broke my leg playing for Wigan Athletic, like the year before I signed for Leicester, as I told you earlier. But there's a story, and what happened is unbelievable. So it was John Thomas, a Tuesday night, I'm playing a ball up the wing, you know, long ball again. And he just came in and sideswiped me, and I broke my leg. And the tip of my fib gone. They tried to stand me up as they thought, well, she's all right, yeah, big and strong. Right. Big and strong, you like that, don't you? Yeah.
You are. Gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's it. So, honestly,
I knew that were bad. They tried to stand me up, collapsed again. And the doc came on and put an injection in my right leg, and I thought, fucking hell, what are you doing, doc? You put it in the wrong fucking leg. But obviously, it goes into your system. Don't worry about that. An old guy just died at exactly the same time. Obviously, his favourite player had died. But all my family were there. So I was stretchered off. There's only one stretcher, so they ripped a billboard off. And it's a funny story. So they carried the old guy off on a billboard, right? Obviously, we're going to take the first ambulance. My family all came down and came to the ambulance and said to a copper right next to me, he said, is he all right? He said, well, I'm sorry, he's passed away. So they looked at fucking me, you know, and I obviously got priority ambulance. So eventful story. I went to hospital. I was in traction for 10 days. The lads came, all the Wigan lads, all came in to see me the next day. And I've got my leg up in traction, had an operation, and they put a blue movie on and fucked off. And that's all they did. That's all they did. They didn't even speak to me. How are you? You know, but yeah, good story. But for me, it wasn't great. And one of my first bad injuries, really. And obviously then, you know, I've had strange injuries, you know. Piece of bone ripped off at Arsenal, it turned in my groin and ravelled me, it's still ravelled up in my leg somewhere. I shattered my hand playing against Crystal Palace, and don't forget, you know, that was a good, it was Hopkins who wound me up. Yeah. Remember that tackle at Wembley?
Well, that's one of my questions.
That. Well, that's a good one, because he took a piss out of me when we were, you know, that way, when we won 1-0, we needed to win.
Yes.
And I think we won 1-0. And I must have added 200 balls that game. O'Neill remembers it because it's the best game I've ever played with Leicester. Never have I timed a ball. That many balls came into the box. And there was a simple guy, you know, I slid in and he was crossing the ball and it just shattered all my hand here in about five places. So what are we going to do about it? I've definitely broken it. So Martin sent me to Bupa, said they can't operate on it. They don't know how they're going to repair it. It's a big job, big construction. So I had to play another 6-7 games. O'Neill maybe played 6-7 games with fucking hand like that. And every time I went down, it dislocated, you know. And when you think, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, in my early days, the doc he'd come on the bus and inject me to play. You know, he especially paid to come down and just inject me.
Was it like that for everyone, or just you?
Well, it was just, well, I wanted to play. And, yeah. But the doc would be travelling, but he was a pain. He never, there was nothing untoward. He was just a painkiller, really. Yeah. And it helped me, you know, with a hernia, get through. So I didn't have to have it done at that time. So, you know, like I say, it was just a painkiller. So I never had these cortisone that all the older people had. These were just... But I wanted it because I wanted to play.
But were you having to take injections for like the large majority of like...
No, I never took injections. I took tablets.
In terms of all this stuff you're talking about, was that like, feels like you were managing some kind of pretty serious injury like throughout the majority?
A lot of times. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But was that the standard, or was that just you?
I just got bizarre injuries. Yeah. You know, I've had the most weirdest thing since I was playing as a kid, really.
I think it's you played 450 times.
Yeah, like, unbelievable.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
played that much, and you always...
This is the most weirdest injury I had. I arrived at Wigan, and I was playing. I'd set off, everything, I'd warm up, everything's great. And then from my ankle, from feet down, from my knees down, before half time, I couldn't feel anything from my knees down.
Floating.
I couldn't feel anything. Fucking weird. And I'd go down two or three times, undo my laces and stuff like this. Nothing, you know, thinking the pressure's building up or something. And for years, I just, you know, it happened at Leicester. If anyone's got any footage, you'll see me keep going down. And I come in at half time, I take my boots off, and I'm brand new again.
Really?
You know, I put them back on. And no one read into the fact that I was tying my boots too tight. Yeah. And I was stopping the drip flow on the top of my foot. Right? But I was going,
too hard.
I had, the intrusion I had, I had to be on a running machine. I had all these tests done throughout the year on a running machine with needles in the back of my fucking knees, testing everything. You've got a narrow in there, you've got this. And we just couldn't work it out. And then Mike Allen, the guy who, do you remember the plane disaster at the M1?
Yeah.
I remember he amputated someone, I think, but he was a surgeon then at the time. And I went to see him. And he'd always had a couple of drinks. You could smell it on the end days, honestly. And he said, you've got tarsal tunnel syndrome, which old women get in their hands. So I'm going, oh, fucking hell, how the fuck have I got this? And honestly, I've got two of the biggest scars on my ankles. I was off for quite a few months anyway. And I remember being in Buperon near Scraptop, and I'm thinking, God, this is a nightmare injury, this. Anyway, it happened again when I came back. So it's a fucking waste of time. And, I'd had this operation through his specialist advice.
Yeah.
And what they did, they narrow all the arteries in your... they open up so that your arteries can blood, you know, the flow can flow better. And then I said, do you know what? As soon as I stopped, I found it out myself by thinking, God, this is weird on top of my foot. It started to hurt me. And I loosened my boots. Nothing's happened at all. Fucking brand new. You know, you think, what the hell? And I put up with this for years.
Really?
And it's the simplest thing. Unbelievable.
So talking of injuries, I mean, I've probably come across it. I mean, you were my ultimate hero. You were literally a legend. And I remember every time you used to get injury, I was devastated.
Yeah.
You obviously got injured at Middlesbrough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're out for pretty much all that season, weren't you?
Yeah.
Like, talk us through... You pretty much got off your deathbed to score twice.
I did,
But what? Because you came back against Watford randomly, I think.
Portsmouth at home.
Portsmouth.
We were 3-0 down. Yeah. He just put me on. I think I played against Watford, I think. I didn't know. I only played Portsmouth. And then it was a Tranmere playoff.
Was it?
Semis.
I just remember, like, for ages.
That was my only game.
Back then, like, you didn't know about it. Like, you wouldn't get press conferences like you get now. Like,
so
Walsh is out for a year.
Because that year... Obviously, when I did it, it was the first game of the season. So it's 6 months later, we're playing in the final, you see.
Yeah.
And I weren't going to miss that, you know, after coming back.
So were you not fit? Well,
Brian Little sat me down. And he, the night before, he said, are you 75% fit? And I said, I'm fit. I'm fucking great. And I knew in your mind, I'm not even 50% fit. So I told him I wanted to play. I'd had loads of tablets that night. I thought I'd be fucking brand new for
him.
Yeah. In the end, he played Ewan Roberts, myself, and Ormondroyd.
Yeah.
Which I'm sat in this meeting.
What a front three that is. I mean, that's honestly, football purists.
My mind went, we've got no chance. Absolutely
Tommy Johnson
chance.
And Roman Farland, weren't it?
Yeah.
They were like quite trendy, weren't they?
But they should have won that.
Man.
They had chance after chance after chance, and I thought Little got that wrong, but you know, and I scored the two goals, but they weren't great goals. But
the first one
meant a lot.
Wasn't it?
It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it got in. It spun in, and what's his name?
Johnson?
The goalkeeper. No, Williams.
Williams. And he tried to head it off and missed it.
But
it's gone in. I was looking. Is that my goal? Yeah. All right.
But to me, you were the holy grail. You're a defender. Hardest fuck. And then you scored 20 goals or something.
Yeah, I got 16 in
the
season. That was the year before that.
92, 93, when it's Swindon.
That's it. Yeah.
But how was that?
Oh, yeah, amazing, yeah. Like I said, I got the two red cards in a week against Wolves and who the other one was. Anyway, it doesn't matter, because Rotherham, I think it was.
Of course, because back then, so you could get sent off like back-to-back, couldn't you?
Back-to-back, so that's what happened, and I think the chairman had had a word with him, you've got to do something. So he stripped me of the captaincy and shoved me up front, and I scored 8-9.
Yeah.
You know, it was great, and I was out of the way, no pressure. I loved it, and it was the freedom, you know, there. But Brian knew. Because every day in training before that, me and him used to play, and he was big and small. He liked that.
Honest one for you, because I remember being there at Ayrton Park, 2-0 against Bolton. Speedy scored about 30 yards, and then he nicked one on the line against you. How pissed off were you?
Literally, it was in. Yeah, no.
And he nicked it, and I remember you doing that tactic. You were fuming with him. What did you make it when Speedy turned up after Blackburn? What was that like?
Didn't want to really, you know. I made him aware though.
Did you?
He was the boss, yeah. In a way of, because he was injured on the treatment table, and I went in and fucking there, you know. And someone said something about, he was laughing as though, yeah, I won't dive all this. So I had him by the throat on the table and said, you know, but he's a fiery bloke himself, you know. But we became mates, and we were a force up front again. Me and Joachim played up front. Me and him were effective because that was the way we played, longer balls, and it always worked. And we scored a few goals between us. So, incredible era.
Happy days they were.
Oh yeah.
You were, it's unreal. Yeah. Swindon, we hit 4-5-2 at home. You got two.
Oh yeah, that's right, yeah. I scored two then,
Mustard, brilliant.
Yeah, they were, and then, you know, the heartbreak was the Blackburn final and the Swindon one, to be, you know, them two penalties weren't
Paul Byron
great
that,
penalties,
that
you know, to, you know, they were, you know, if they'd been for us, I would have accepted it, but, well, don't know, still remark on it. As
one more from me. Another playoff final, obviously Crystal Palace, we won it again under O'Neill. Two things from me. Well,
yeah, that's when I played with my hand.
Well, what I loved about that day was you slobbering all over Martin O'Neill's face.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You can see it just glistening in there.
Yeah, it was almost like, you know, I can say it. It was a bit of respect for each other, but it was more, you know, you've done that, and he's saying you've done it, and fucking hell, it was incredible, it was, yeah.
And then the other one, I was on from Burbage, so staying with the sketchy Granger. I remember seeing next morning, you looked a broken man.
I was. You don't understand why. Yeah, I think we've been three times there, and it was heartbreak, and that.
Yeah.
It was, but it was incredible, to be there again, and that's all I wanted for this club, you know, to be up in the Premier League, and that's where, you know, I've had my final best years, and I'm just glad to get another chance to be there, but, you know, to get through injury, I felt like I was missing and Joachim was missing, and then we came back and we got there, so it's fantastic, yeah.
I mean, Steve, when you joined the club, obviously, you know, you're not from Leicester, like lots of the players are.
Yeah.
Did you ever for a single moment imagine that however many years on you'd be sat here right now talking about 500 appearances for Leicester?
But I didn't
it's
imagine
kind of mad,
that
isn't
because,
it? Because you're Northern, you know, but this is your home.
But look, you know, when I look at my dad's history, and he built parts for Tornado aeroplanes for 50 years at British Aerospace, my loyalty was always, you know, always there.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I followed in his footsteps. I was a loyal person, and that's how you sign a contract, you stay. You don't, not like these days, you know, it's a lot different. And the players got more or less all the cards that they can play, so.
Were there chances and times you thought
you'd Tottenham came in for me, Forest came in for me, Tottenham came 750 grand, O'Neill wouldn't let me go. And I wouldn't have gone anyway, because I didn't want to go. And then Forest came in towards the end. I forget who was the manager then. Then that could have been interesting, but I just imagine that.
Please no.
Yeah.
But, thank God you didn't go to Forest.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I was 1 minute away from being.
Don't tell me this.
No, Wolves player.
Wolves.
Really get you there.
Yeah. No, it weren't Bully. No.
I didn't want to play against you anymore.
Colin Lee was manager, and he wanted me on loan for a month. And I, you know what? Just as I'd left Leicester. because of Tater Peeler.
You know, I wanted to ask about him.
Well, I don't want to speak about him, but you can do if you want. Because my memories have, you know, he's, well, it cost me a lot. You know, the way that he acted with me and what he did with me was wrong.
Everyone we have spoken to says similar things. Do you know what I mean?
You shouldn't have been allowed to do that.
That he ended your association with the
club. John Elson, bless him at the time, you know, shouldn't have let that happen.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor came in, wanted rid of the older lads. And the way he did it with me was wrong, very wrong. But, you know, I don't know. It's when I look back and think how someone can destroy someone's life, you know, and I look back and it's affected me in a lot of ways, you know, even to this day. You know, I shouldn't have left on the terms I left. These wonderful owners now of this football club make all the legends now. They
look darker.
They get us doing things and they bring everybody in now, and going back into to Date Dock, which I think is wonderful what they do for all the ex-players. Not a lot of clubs are as good as what we are, you know.
Quickly, because I think
you
want to sign.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. You're right. Yeah, come on, then. We'll have a photograph as well, eh? Everyone stand up and
just leave this in.
Yeah.
God,
come on round. Come on round. Yes.
He's here.
Yeah.
He's there.
You're going to be on the podcast now. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Come on. Yes. What's your name?
Ruby.
Ruby. Yeah. Ruby. What a name. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. All right.
She knows the football.
Nice one. Yeah. Oh, that's. Should have had a proper picture. I've not got one. I usually have.
Old school, they are.
Yeah.
Oscar, get your book out.
So I've got well, she's all half in a book somewhere. Yeah.
I think I've got it all about 100 times.
Really cared about today was getting some autographs. Obviously, we didn't get here early enough, but I've got his book, so I think Steve's going to do one.
You're going to get your own
book. Right, have we got anything more for Steve before we get our food and let him go?
It's all right, don't we?
So I don't want to detract the conversation from you and your career, but you've talked about some unbelievable players that you've played with. Muzzy
was the
who was the best player you played with at Leicester?
Muzzy was the finest. Yeah, he had he'd go through anyone. You know, his legs were like that, but he was a jinky kind of player. He'd ride tackles. His work rate from box to box. It kept me going for another with him and Lennon in front of me. It was easy. It was that easy, honestly. I could stand there and fucking do nothing apart from edit out the box, kick it as far as I can. But no, we could play football. But Izzet was terrific. Matt Elliott as a partner was the best centre back, apart from Russell Osman in the early days. Got a lot of respect for that guy. What a footballer, you know. And through the years, you look at some of the players. Heskey, obviously, playing with him and Len. That era with O'Neill was, when you look at it, was the finest that I've seen in a complete team.
Best manager you played under?
Yeah, it has to be O'Neill, but Brian Little. I've got a lot of time for Brian. In them years that I you know, he was the best manager up until then. O'Neill, in the success that we had and you know, the way that he managed and the way that we won games and against teams that you'd never think, you know, that never say die kind of camaraderie that was needed against all odds, you know, and that's where we were.
I've got two more, sorry. I'm going to go through the best of. Favourite goal for Leicester?
I take great pleasure from the Fulham one, because that was redemption. Redemption for me.
Good
hit. Redemption. Arsenal was phenomenal. That was the moment, bigger than the Derby goal, in a sense of the feeling I had got for it. Jesus Christ.
You gave a bit of a send-off after that goal, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, to right to you.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what I said.
I think we know what you said.
You want some
that's it, yeah. And that was nothing in the end. He sent me a signed shirt. Yeah, we went to the FA after that one. That was quite funny. Them goals were special. But Wembley coming back was emotionally, you know, getting to the Premier League for the first time in the history, you'd think, you know, but I lifted the club, the Coca-Cola Cup as well. These are memories that are all on the same level, but that Arsenal was,
That was special,
good.
Wasn't it?
That was good.
Yeah. Was that the Zenith lifting the cups?
Coca-Cola, yeah, I know what you mean.
You've scored all these goals, but what was the moment at Leicester where you thought we've made it?
I grew up when we beat Derby, yeah. I thought then, because we're in the Premier League where we need to be. And I wanted, I tried my best to get us back there for, you know, the, I didn't have the right partners up until then, and I carried a lot of the team then, you know, single-handedly, but, you know, and put myself through a lot of things, that's why I have a lot of injuries, but you know, you say, is it worth it for what I'm feel like now? But of course it is, yeah, yeah. But no, the, you know, all them little special memories, I can't divide a few of them, because they were important goals, they were important moments and in the history of the club, so yeah, I had a lot of them. I was at the heart of it, so yeah.
And the trophies were a bonus, I think.
So you know, it was just great. It was, you know, to win the League Cup, playing in it against Man City and maybe debut in pro football. You know, when Joe Corrigan played and Archie Gemmell played and someone else, but Archie Gemmell played for Wigan. You know, and when I think back, you know, that cut's close to my heart because, you know, we won it twice, so, and we should have won it three times. That was devastating. We should have won that, no doubt about it. So it could have been better. Yeah, could have had another winner's medal. But, yeah.
Final one for me, it's not a question, it's a statement.
Right.
Get ready. Well, no, there's two people that are synonymous with Leicester City, I reckon, in the last 30 years, you and Jamie Vardy.
Phew.
When I was seven and I started supporting Leicester, you were the captain.
Put it this way, who are they going to build a statue of?
Well, I hope it's you, mate. It should be you and Vardy, both of us, hand in hand. But yeah. No, it's more just like...
No, it's nice to say that. I feel welcome, you know, and I've done, you know, I've had a fantastic career at Leicester. I've given everything I can, you know, and my body, so...
It just, like, I suppose it is a question. It's like, how does it feel being genuinely an absolute
icon? Whether I know, you know, still now, but I know, you know, as you get older, people don't remember you, especially the kids that you go to school, who are you? You know, or it's the mums and granddads, and, you know, it's getting granddads now.
Well, I'm glad you've said that, because my nana, she didn't know anything about football. But me, my dad, and my granddad used to have a season ticket. And every week, the only question she'd ever ask, weren't the score, did Walshy play? Genuinely, did Walshy play? Not always, because you're either banned or injured. Yeah, yeah. But when he did play, we're mustard.
Yeah, it's great, you know, and like I say, you're soon forgotten, but I think that'll be revered, you know, for a long time.
Anyway, no, you're a legend, mate.
No, it's great. Great to be here.
Thank you, no, mate.
Thanks a lot.
Much appreciated. Guys.
Yeah, do you want any more or do you want
An encore? Steve, thank you for your time.
No, absolutely. No problem. Yeah.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers, guys. Yeah, yeah.
Cheers, mate.
No, it's good.
Legend,
yeah, yeah. Super. Cheers. Yeah. Nice one. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right, son. Did you listen to that?
Yeah.
No, you can't. You should have said, he should have been sat on the top table. He should have been here.
Podcast Network.